The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome in on a Monday that is going to be memorable. It's only the first week of April, but we had quite a weekend in college basketball, the men's final tonight, but many people are still buzzing over the women's Final Four in Dallas. And that shot right there are the new champions of women's college basketball. Those are the LSU Tigers arriving home about 2 hours ago. Kim Mulkey leading the parade, and it was quite a celebration just about 2 hours ago in Baton Rouge, and we'll talk plenty about that this afternoon. It was elusive, very emotional. Kim Mulkey, it is her fourth national championship. She's only been at LSU. This was her second year. This was the year everyone expected South Carolina to win, and it was LSU taking it all.
I call them the big three, but the big three are just a part of what we do. They're just big, 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 big personalities. But you don't win championships because ask them. They were sitting their butt over there by me in the first half in foul trouble. We took that lead with those three young ladies right there that have played their role. The most valuable player probably that is the unsung hero through the entire playoffs, LaDasia Williams.
Angel Reese in the headlines pretty much everywhere in sports today. Headline in the Washington Post, LSU's Angel Reese answers critics of title game taunt.
I'm happy. I mean, all year, I was critiqued about who I was. The narrative, I don't fit the narrative. I don't fit in the box that y'all want me to be in. I'm too hood. I'm too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year. But when other people do it, y'all don't say nothing. So this was for the girls that look like me, that's going to speak up on what they believe in. It's unapologetically you. And that's what I did it for tonight. This was for the more than, it was bigger than me tonight.
The press conference, my people had to tell me because, Jay, I don't do social media. I have no clue what they were talking about while I'm sitting up there listening. And so when I asked more questions afterwards, they explain, you know, we do all know that Angel loves to be on social media. She's a magnet. She speaks her mind. She does trash talk. Hell, I trash talk. You trash talk. We all love to talk it. But now you have a lot of people watching you, and Angel is unapologetic for who she is. And I think what happened is she made a sign on the floor toward Caitlin Clark, is my understanding. Again, I'm repeating secondhand information, and it was the same sign that she said Caitlin Clark did in a previous game, but, of course, she didn't get attacked, and Angel said, I do. And she said, Coach, this is what I'm talking about. She said it's okay for men to do some things, and I think she gave other examples about they tried to say that she was flipping people off when she was, in fact, pointing at her ring finger like Joe Burrow did during the national championship game at LSU. So Angel is very, very smart, and she's very, very savvy. And she knows if she crosses the line and it becomes vulgar or it becomes something that doesn't represent me or LSU, someone will tell me, and then I will get involved. Otherwise, if what I was told is all there is to it, so be it.
So we are back, and I can't tell you how excited we are to welcome to our show as our first guest, Sally Jenkins, the award-winning sports columnist with the Washington Post, one of the most distinguished sports journalists in the country, author of many best-selling books, including one on Pat Summitt that we talked to Sally about a couple of years ago upon Pat's tragic death. Sally, first of all, thank you very much. I know you've been covering the tournament. We appreciate you making time this afternoon.
Sure. Glad to be here.
First, before we get too deep into some of the many controversies, just as someone who has covered all sports for so long, but especially covering many women's Final Fours. What was this like for you to watch it all unfold and especially to have such a surprise winner?
Oh, you know, it really was the culmination of a lot of years of covering women's Final Fours and, you know, feeling that, you know, I was covering an event people really didn't appreciate the true value of. And so to see, you know, the record audiences, 357,000 people attending the games, and then, you know, a peak of 6.6 people watching the semifinals. You know, I've been writing about how great this event was for a long, long time. And obviously in 2021, got pretty outraged in print at the NCAA's underselling of the event and the sort of the cheapening of the women's game in general. So it was just incredibly rewarding from the standpoint of, you know, being right all these years, I guess, is not to sound too combative about it, but it was vindication for a lot of women who've understood just how great this sport is.
And Sally, in terms of the various schools, and, you know, so much attention was placed on South Carolina coming in, and then Caitlin Clark and in that epic matchup, and then to get the winner we did yesterday. What does that say to you, especially about what Kim Mulkey pulled off in just 2 short years in her career at LSU?
Well, first of all, Kim Mulkey has really established herself as one of the three historical greats in the game. There's nobody but Geno Auriemma and Pat Summitt who've won more titles now than Kim Mulkey. I mean, she's on her way into very, very, very elite company, and she doesn't look close to being done. You know, she's a fairly young woman for a, you know, Hall of Fame coach. So that's number one. She's really separated herself from her peers, and that, for the moment, includes Dawn Staley, although I think South Carolina will be chasing them pretty heavily next year. But that was great. And then, of course, you know, Caitlin Clark just plays a game that, you know, even NBA players recognize is so unique, so generational, so thrilling. I mean, just poured in the points. You literally could not stop her. And maybe the most rewarding thing of the last couple of rounds was that, you know, the offense was really superb against very good defenses. South Carolina was the best defense anyone had ever seen. And yet, you know, Caitlin Clark still managed to get her 40. The defense yesterday was very, very good. And yet both teams shot over 50%. So teams were winning championships, winning rounds, by making shots rather than missing them, which is always a lot of fun to cover. And it was a big step up for the women's game more broadly.
And Sally, some would argue, you know, that what happened at the end of the game is good. I mean, I flipped on ESPN today, and I'm not asking you to become a television commentator, but it was the first story, and it wasn't about the game. It was about the end of the game. And on that subject, because there have been so many just really disgusting tweets about it from various people. I'm curious what you thought of it all. I realize you're covering the game, but certainly by now it has become the story of what happened yesterday.
Well, and I have a feeling Kim Mulkey will say that to Angel Reese before the conversation ends with LSU. She'll basically say, look, whether you meant to or not, you know, by doing this, you didn't cross the line. I'm not going to discipline you for it, but do you understand what's going to happen on social media? And that your teammates maybe got robbed of some credit. You know, if Angel Reese doesn't do that, maybe we're talking more about Jasmine Carson's shooting performance, right? So that's one aspect if you're her coach. But I thought Mulkey really nailed it. Look, nothing big happened. I mean, Caitlin Clark certainly had been, you know, gesturing during the tournament as a very cocky player herself. She can take it. She's a big girl and a mature player. It's a great for the rivalry going forward. Angel Reese will probably be a candidate for player of the year next year. Caitlin Clark's coming back. You know, all she did was point at her ring finger, which as Mulkey says, is nothing Joe Burrow hasn't done. And what bothered people was probably the timing of it, that they were heading towards the handshake line and that Angel Reese appeared to be doing it at someone, you know, at Caitlin Clark. Clark's gestures haven't really been directed necessarily at individuals, but they have been directed at opponents in general. So, you know, look, it was what it was. It was competitive fun. You know, nothing horrible happened out there. The reactions are really overreactions. And, you know, if anyone should have a problem with it, I would think it would be internally on the team, just basically saying, hey, you know, when you do stuff like that, you know, we all get involved. We're all involved. So that was my take. By the way, you know, she's a very exuberant, emotional 20-year-old, and her coaches had been feeding her and her teammates red meat on this subject for about 3 days. I mean, everything that Kim Mulkey and Bob Starkey was saying to those players, and guards in particular, their shooters in particular, was, you know, nobody thinks you're going to be able to stay on the court with Caitlin Clark as shooters, you know. So I think she was really primed and jacked up by the end of that game, and she's a 20-year-old kid. And let's keep this in context.
We'll leave it there. Sally, many thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. It's always a treat to have someone like Sally Jenkins with us from the Washington Post. We have a lot to do over these next couple of hours. We'll invite your phone calls at 855-242-7285 as well. Get ready. We're in for quite an afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back in the Final Four 2023. We're projecting football here, and we'll talk more about that. Nothing like Final Four talk on a football show. So Brad Crawford, most likely. Boy, that's a surprise over there. Who's in the mix? How about LSU? Texas? Is that? Am I reading that correctly?
Yes.
No Aggies?
No.
Brad joins us in a few minutes. Darren Heitner, our legal expert, and Michael Eaves, live from Augusta. Let's get to the calls, and Logan starts us off in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hey, happy Monday, Paul. Did you watch any of the women's basketball over the weekend?
I watched most of it. I was able to see the end of the San Diego State game on the men's side, but I watched all the women and pretty much the entire game yesterday. And by the way, for the record, I will not be watching the game tonight. I'm protesting.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I just want to talk a little bit about the women's Iowa and South Carolina. I had called in last week and I was asking you about the Bird Magic comparison, but I think Caitlin Clark, after watching her in that game, she reminds me of a female Steph Curry. I don't know if you see any of the comparisons.
Yeah, they shoot similarly. Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, they shoot from half court. But to get into this issue about yesterday, actually my cable went out. I missed half the game. I ended up watching it on a tablet, but after the game, the issue with the young lady from LSU, I think on social media they're trying to make it out the black or white issue, but to me it's just more of a classless issue where you just don't do that. Like, she threw the loser sign right in front of the girl, and then she was taunting her with a ring. They say
Caitlin Clark did the same thing. Logan, I think a lot of the reaction was really about the reaction. Dave Portnoy came out with a – a tweet, and then everybody reacted to that, and everybody reacted to other people's tweets. And I think that, I mean, that's, but that's social media, though. For those who aren't swimming in the toxic waters of Twitter every afternoon, you probably didn't even know it existed until today when all the shows went crazy with it.
Yeah, I saw it happen yesterday, and I thought the coach should have probably addressed it. It sounded like she didn't know about it. I don't know.
But here's the deal. If it happened in the middle of the game, it's one thing, but you just won the national championship. What's the first thing your coach, now Nick Saban probably would have done it. He would have said, hold on a second, before the trophy celebration, now, let me chew my guy out first. but that's, I mean, I, for, you're right, Kim Mulkey didn't know about it. And even if she had seen it, you have to let the situation flow. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Lewis is up next in Augusta, Georgia. Hello, Lewis.
Hey, Paul. Hey, like the show. Appreciate you letting me on.
Thank you.
I agree with mostly everything Sally Jenkins said, except she said that Caitlin Clark did not gesture. She did her gesture not towards any particular person, but in the South Carolina game, she did gesture towards Raven Johnson.
She sure did.
I just want to bring that up.
Yeah, to me, also, that's why this is not an issue. She was doing it because Caitlin Clark had already done it. I think you're right. If out of nowhere somebody starts taunting the losing team, you go, that's not the way I was brought up. That's not what I did. It doesn't matter. But in this case, she was having fun with it against the biggest star in college basketball and the one player that we've been hearing about all weekend. I really think it's much ado about nothing. But then again, on one level, it's really good for the game because so many people are talking about this today, and almost nobody is talking about the men's game.
Yeah. And also the previous caller had mentioned, like, the loser sign. I think that's LSU. They throw up the L.
Yeah.
So it's not like a loser. So.
Well, I mean, all this is a takeoff of a wrestler. None of this is original. It's been going on. And anyway, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Hope you had a good weekend.
Thank you.
I didn't watch the game, the women's game yesterday, but I did watch most of the Virginia Tech and the LSU game Friday night. And I was wondering if you could get a suit like Kim Mulkey wore on a Friday night.
I'll wear it. Yeah, sure. You bet. I have to give Kim credit. I don't know where she comes up with this stuff, but she managed with each round of the tournament, she managed to top the previous suit.
That's right. Yeah, that's correct. Saturday afternoon, I got my first game of pickleball in. Have you got into that craze yet?
I'm well aware of it, but I have not played yet. No.
Okay. Well,
I'm waiting for Lent to end.
This is my final thought. Everybody's saying in 2 years what Kim Mulkey's done at LSU. I think come fall, in probably another year or so, we'll be saying the same thing about Brian Kelly getting it done at LSU. So, I mean, they've made some good hires. I thought they should have went with Billy Napier, but I think by this fall we'll be saying the same thing about Brian Kelly, how he's come in 2 or 3 years and got it done at LSU.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Dwayne in Louisiana. Hello, Dwayne.
Man, nobody ain't trying to hear that no more about LSU basketball. Let's move on from that. Hey, I got a couple things to say, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Hey, Texas, hook 'em horn. Why you ain't tell them people that we gonna kill that cow, whatever they got over there, we're going to put him on the grill? Well, how you like it? I like T-bone. I like ribeye. T-bone filet mignon. Like, what you like?
That's yeah, give me a filet while you're carving up Bevo.
That what you want after we butcher that sucker?
Yeah, fairly.
Hey,
yeah,
you want the horn?
Medium rare.
You want the horns too? Real mouth the horn on the show.
I don't want the horns.
Real mouth the horns on the show. What you come real with the people from Texas? How we gonna dog their butt in the SEC? Huh? Tell them that. What you tell them people that? Huh? When they come down here. And another thing I want to say, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. That clown you had on last Friday, Stephen M. Smith. Where you got that character from?
Yeah, Stephen M. Smith. We had quite a conversation with Stephen M.
That nerve. That nerve. Where you got that nerve from? Oh, he is begging on Alabama. Oh, Alabama this. Kirk Warwick copied this from Nick Saban. We going to get that back. We going to do it. I could have been a punk. Hey, I could do that. I could do what he did.
Dwayne, I'm behind in my script here. What page are you on right now?
You know what page I'm on? That CBM Smith with that clown.
Stephen M. Smith is a serious journalist. I mean, you're talking
about
him.
That man is dumb. That man don't know nothing.
Dwayne, he's a very
Dwayne. He lives in Alabama. That's why he's doing it.
No, no, he's a very objective. Self. Listen to me for a second. He's a very objective journalist. He writes. He's the publisher of Touchdown Alabama magazine. How could that not be objective?
Bull. Oh, that's bull. You should have told him that how LSU going to whoop on him. Don't you should have told him. Talking about all that and this and that and that and that. You know what I'm saying? But hey, would you let when the Texas people call you, hook them on, tell Mike the Tiger got something for him. Mike the Tiger will heat him up.
I mean, is Dwayne not your favorite caller?
One of them.
Dwayne, you're not going to win the caller bracket because you were not eligible, but you're the favorite for next year.
Tell him, do eat that cow, whatever that is, or whatever that cow.
It's a longhorn. It's a steer.
Be running.
Aren't they steers?
Steers.
Bevo is a steer.
When you see Mike the Tiger, he's going to be running.
Oh, I think Bevo could handle Mike the Tiger.
Yeah, right.
Every time I see Mike the Tiger, he's sleeping.
Yeah, right. Hey, okay. Another thing. Hey, one more thing I want to tell you before I go. You talk about that man, that horse we play Florida State, come riding in the stadium and throw that arrow in the middle of the field. You know that?
Yeah, huh? I'm with you right so far.
I'll be on Mike the Tiger. I'll ride Mike the Tiger in the same time he ride that stuff in, that horse. I'm going to jump off Mike the Tiger so Mike the Tiger take that horse, and I want to take that man.
Man, I tell you what, I want whatever Dwayne's having. We'll take a short break. Back with much more after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. It's been a busy show already with Sally Jenkins talking about the game yesterday and Brad Crawford now talking about another Final Four, this one in football. Brad, thanks for the time. Great to see you as always. So let's get right to it. Since Final Fours are on people's mind, you've come up with your own. Tell us about it.
Yeah, hey, Paul, happy Easter, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, we've seen tons of parity during March Madness with college basketball, but that's not going to be the case during the 2023 college football season, at least in my opinion. You know, I started this article by taking 6 to 8 of the nation's most talented teams based on our recruiting rankings here at 24/7 Sports and just sort of went from there. And that's usually indicative of who we're going to see in the playoff. Teams with the most talent obviously win at the highest level. TCU's run last year was unprecedented, exception to that rule, because they had a recruiting class outside of the top 20. So you're going to see the usual suspects in that mix for the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, those are the usual suspects. And I could look down, and that could have been last year or maybe the year before. The difference, I think, though, Brad, is Alabama. There probably are more questions about them than I can remember, perhaps maybe since Saban's first year at the helm. So let's talk about that and why what you have come up with seems to be in tune with the past, even though nobody really knows about this year other than Nick Saban's the coach, great recruiting class, and it's Alabama.
Yeah, two new coordinator hires is obviously the biggest offseason storyline. Unknowns at quarterback, really, with Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson still battling here entering third week of spring practice. Those guys are duking it out. But if anyone has earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to projection and top four for next season, it's Nick Saban. He hasn't missed a playoff in consecutive years since, I want to say, 2014, which is when this four-team playoff first began after the BCS. So Alabama's a team, I think, that at plus 500 right now, that's the most recent odds I saw. That's a pretty solid bet because you're talking about Georgia probably at one, Bama maybe three or four in most preseason polls. I still like Alabama to have a great shot at getting to the playoff next season.
Yeah, Brad, just doing the math in my head, I think Alabama has only missed the playoffs twice. That was when LSU won it all in this most recent year. So we're talking about something in the playoff era that has never happened. Nick Saban has not gone three. It sounds funny to say, by the way, that he has not gone 3 years without a national championship during his tenure. So we move to Georgia. You feel pretty confident of the Dogs even without knowing the quarterback.
There's a good chance, Paul, that Georgia will play only two top 25 teams this season, and that includes the SEC championship game. I have that trip to Tennessee, Neyland Stadium in November, another berth in Atlanta. Really, those are the two ranked teams that Georgia's going to play, maybe Alabama or LSU in that SEC championship game. I think right now you have to sort of ride in Kirby Smart's team, probably with a Sharpie as a lock to get in the playoff unless they lose two games. And I just don't see it with that schedule and the talent that Kirby Smart, you know, has at basically every position group.
Georgia Sharpie, I like the sound of that. Let me ask you about LSU. They're on your outside looking in, although you know, Brian Kelly's turnaround has been fast. What do you see down there?
I think everybody would agree that LSU was sort of ahead of schedule last season in Brian Kelly's first campaign, and that's a great sign if you're an LSU fan. This feels to me like a bust-proof team, and I can't say that about a lot of, you know, projected elites here in April coming into the end of spring practice. And I think that's because of LSU's depth. Quarterback room is loaded. Jaden Daniels, obviously an all-SEC caliber signal caller. Garrett Nussmeier, Paul, would start at most SEC programs. We're going to probably see him play some this year. Then Harold Perkins on defense is arguably the nation's top returning player on that side of the ball at linebacker. Future top five pick. So I think if LSU can get past Florida State in that season opener, you know, the Tigers aren't going to play another top 15 caliber team until that trip to Tuscaloosa in November. So I would buy stock in LSU right now, especially since Brian Kelly has that program ahead of schedule now heading into year two.
We're talking about next year, and Brad, outside of those three, last year was all about Tennessee. They made it to number one in the country. They almost made the playoffs. Are they your next team, or is it somebody else?
Yeah, Penn State's a team that I'm higher on than most. I think Penn State is my dark horse playoff pick. I don't quite have them in the Final Four right now as far as way too early bowl projections go. But, you know, James Franklin has won 11 games four times already in Happy Valley, and this might be the year that he gets to 12. It's going to take a win over Michigan or Ohio State to get there. But you look at the five-star quarterback they signed last year in Drew Allar. He's a guy that really Penn State hasn't had that difference maker at the quarterback position. No disrespect to Sean Clifford, but, Paul, we know watching Penn State games the last 4 years, there's a contingent of the fan base that didn't even want to see him starting. They have 2,000-yard freshman running backs back, Catron Allen, Nicholas Singleton, probably the best duo backfield in college football. So Penn State's a team right now that I have inside my preseason top five, and I think you'll see them be a unanimous top 10 pick come August.
And they really, West Virginia, that's not a monster game. West Virginia's okay, right. But by no means is it a Florida State or some of the other. Let me ask you within the SEC. I mentioned Tennessee a minute ago. South Carolina is ascending. A&M, yeah. Nobody knows about. What's your feeling on the SEC in terms of 3 to 5, position 3 to 5, or not 3 to 5, but 4 to 5, since we've already mentioned 3. 4, 5, and 6, who is next?
Yeah, the quarterback position, I think, is the utmost pivotal position in the SEC this season. Talk about Georgia has a new starter. Alabama has a new starter. LSU has a guy coming back in Jaden Daniels. And that fourth pick, as you mentioned, Paul, it's going to be Joe Milton at Tennessee. He might lead Tennessee to another double-digit win season. I do have some questions of, you know, what they got coming back at wide receiver after losing Cedric Tillman, Jalin Hyatt, probably two day two guys in the NFL draft. And then Spencer Rattler. This is his final season in Columbia. He is sort of an enigma-type quarterback, has a new OC in Dowell Loggins. And based on intel I've heard during spring practice so far, Rattler looks like that quarterback that threw 6 touchdown passes against Tennessee in November, beat the Vols, and then went into Death Valley and beat Clemson to snap that 40-game streak. So if Spencer Rattler has an all-SEC caliber senior season with the Gamecocks, maybe we're talking about Shane Beamer in year 3 possibly contending for the SEC East.
You mentioned Clemson a minute ago. Just like we have talked about Alabama, they were there every year from almost the onset. Where are they?
You know, it sort of feels like everyone has just written off the Tigers, you know, since that blowout loss to Justin Fields and Ohio State, I think it was in Louisiana 2 years ago at the end of that COVID season. That's the last time, Paul, that Dabo Sweeney's program has reached the college football playoff. They haven't been back since. So I think there's some motivation there this offseason. You know, Dabo said last week to open spring that he's never had a more healthy program, in his opinion. And I don't know if that's coach speak or maybe the hire of Garrett Riley as his new play caller from TCU hyping things up a bit, but Cade Klubnik, 5-star quarterback in last year's class, he takes over for DJ Uiagalelei, and everybody around that program and the ACC thinks that he's a difference maker at that position. So Clemson's a team, I think, that is going to start out the preseason poll outside of the top 5, but I'd probably buy stock in Dabo's program because between Clemson and Florida State and the ACC, there's a mass drop-off between those top 2 programs.
Brad, for a chaotic stock market, you're buying a lot of stock today. Brad Crawford from 24/7.
Everything's cheap right now, man. It's a buyer's market, right?
Give me some tips as soon as we go off the air. I don't want anybody else to know. Great to see you again, Brad. It's always fun to have you on. Fantastic segment with Brad Crawford. As we head to the break, already Sally Jenkins on yesterday in Houston with LSU's huge win. We'll talk to more guests a little bit later on. Your phone calls continue at 855-242-7285.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. As we continue here, how about Shirley in Kentucky? Hello, Shirley.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. Good afternoon.
Hey there.
I expressed to your associate the nature of the comments which I wish to make, and those concern the women's championship basketball game which occurred yesterday.
Okay.
This was an absolutely unparalleled, exquisitely executed tournament. An absolute pleasure to view by all sports enthusiasts. However, the display was diminished. The display was diminished by Miss Caitlin Clark's repeated denigrating, humiliating, bullying and displaying of Oscar-worthy hand gestures and signals in persons' faces that, frankly, no one understood. So when yesterday the outcome of that contest, Mr. Feinbaum was sealed, and frankly, the technical had very little to do with that outcome, the conclusion would be karma came. The chickens and the crows came home to roost. What was sown was indeed reaped. And hopefully Ms. Clark will learn from this experience that part of being a champion is, despite the competitive fire that is shown, there must be a comporting of oneself with grace, and that includes a grace in loss. So thank you, Mr. Feinbaum, and have a nice evening, everyone.
Thank you, Shirley. Ooh, Shirley, wow. Shirley delivered the sermon on top of the mountain there. Curtis is up next. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, Paul, how you been doing, man?
We are okay. Thank
you. Not long time, but thanks for taking my call. Paul, I want to, first of all, congratulate the LSU on their win. And as I listened to our boy Stephen A. this morning, I hate that I know it was done by Kalen first, and then the young lady from LSU did sucker. I just wish that they would get that out the game. But let's don't make it a race thing. You know, that's the only thing I was disappointed in. They wanted to become.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it should not be one, and I understand the optics of it. But it's, I mean, remember, these are young people. They're on a big stage. You prefer them to act the way you want them to act, but I really don't think race had anything to do with that. I don't think anything had anything to do with Curtis other than the emotions of the moment.
Yeah. I mean, like Steve Lander was talking about, until it was done the second time, that's when they started trying to say, you know,
well,
about,
Curtis,
you know,
what? Between you and me, don't take Stephen A. too seriously, okay?
Yeah, I know. That's my boy. But, Paul, I thank you. I'm looking forward to Tennessee football. I think they weren't expecting us last year. I think they're still on the mess they does. Paul, you have a good one.
Curtis, you be well. Take care of yourself. Let's go to Canada next. AC on a Monday. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, you have an LSU fan about 20, probably 30 minutes ago. I'm talking about Mr. Dwayne. What a hype gentleman. But let me tell you what's going to happen to LSU. Alabama is going to win 10 or more games as usual. Georgia is going to dominate SEC. I have them to win three-peat. Tennessee is going to do something that God knows what they're going to do. Texas A&M is going to lay an egg. Texas and Oklahoma, they're going to join SEC. They're going to bring more money. That's all they're going to do. So what's going to happen with LSU? They're going to take a nap just like Mike the Tiger and Brian Kelly. That's all you guys are going to do is take a nap. Competition is going to go by, but you cannot take advantage. Brian Kelly's status, everything speaks for itself. The record, et cetera, et cetera. Everything speaks for itself. I am not lying. Go check those Notre Dame games. When he choked against those with the Irish, hey, probably you need those Irish whiskey to help him out, because at LSU, you don't have Ed Orgeron. You have a choke artist named Mr. Brian Kelly. I highly doubt Brian Kelly's going to get the job done, just like Jim Harbaugh. And who's that guy? Jimbo Fisher. That's right. I did not forget that name. Why I did not forget that name? Because they never won a single championship with their respective team. Now, Mr. Feinbaum, enjoy your day. Page 54, it's my book.
Eileen is up next. Hello, Eileen. Feels like a song, doesn't it?
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
So, listen, I played Division I basketball, albeit, 30 years ago. I think this game between LSU and Iowa was similar to, like, the Bird Magic era in 79 when it put college basketball kind of the Final Four on the map and the national championship on the hype. That's the analogy I can make between this game and the game with Bird and Magic years ago. I think Kim Mulkey was not going to be outcoached. I think she's not a fan, but she's a great coach. She's won as a player. She's won at Beller. Now she's won at LSU. You know, she is a proven winner, and she's going to find a way to slow down Caitlin Clark. I also think when you said, you know, it, with the kids, you know, this generation of players, they flex, they hype the crowd, you know, different things than my teammates and I did in the 90s, right? But I think we all have to kind of rally around kids and coaches and get kids to kind of realize, you know, the game is bigger than they are, in terms of how they conduct themselves and their comportment, you know, on the court. But I think it was a great game. I think it made lifelong fans out of some folks, and I think it's truly a better game tonight than tonight's game with the men's.
Well said. Thank you, Arlene.
Thank you.
Did I just wanted to, like, scream out, come on, Eileen, over and over again. Dan is up next.
Thanks, Paul. Paul, that's really great. LSU won the national championship, the first basketball championship from the women. But, Paul, I don't like the taunting of the players. It shouldn't be a part of the game. The culture that Kim Mulkey, and I love her, I love the team, but they got to be bigger than that. They got to be better than that, especially the first woman's team from LSU. They've got to set the example, and I wish they would, Paul.
Well, Dan, thank you for your call. I completely disagree. I think they're young people celebrating in the moment. And, you know, Dan, your world and my world is different than the world today. Accept it. We're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.